Live by the sword and Budai by the sword.
That's all I'm saying.
Live as if you were to Budai tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Budai, 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 rocket everywhere.
Oh god.
Oh man, I haven't seen that one. That was good. Budai, 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 rocket everywhere. It's like... Hey, Sharks fans, thanks for checking in to another cast from the Putnologist, episode 51 here. Do us a favor and subscribe to us on SoundCloud, give us a review on iTunes, and always subscribe to the YouTube channel from Teal Town, USA. I am AJ underscore Strong, was on the IR last week, activated earlier this week, joined by the one and only Rocket Backhander.
The expiration date is fast approaching. I am Rocket Backhander. Hi, guys.
And off a longer IR than I was on, Hockey Jerk.
Yay. Guess
who's back? Jerky's back.
Hello, friend.
Parody. It falls under fair use.
What is up, my friends? How are we?
Dude, I'm just having it hard to. I so did not see that coming. That was fantastic.
This is what I bring to the table.
I was gonna say, when was the last time you remember Jerk bringing production value to a show? That was fantastic.
Then it went to toys.
Oh man! So the last we spoke with you, the Sharks have had 2 weeks worth of games here, going 4-0-1 over that stretch of five, currently with a record of 6-3-2. So let's get into it. Ah, boy. Buffalo. Buffalo. It seemed like the Sabres had the Sharks number forever, but the Sharks somehow have beaten them three in a row, pull off a 5-2 win. Logan Couture getting a hat trick, capped off with an empty netter, courtesy of Tomas Hertl. 4 of 5 goals coming within 5 feet of the crease, which is the way it should be and would actually be kind of a harbinger of things to come. 3 for 7 on the power play. Yes, that's right. They got 7 opportunities on the power play and perfect 5 for 5 on the PK. Following that up, head over onto the aisle, pick up a 4-1 win while Hertl gets 3 assists. Meyer on a 5-game point streak, which will be another storyline of this. All 4 goals coming from crashing the net. They would then head out on a 3-game road trip, starting off in Rocket's current town. I won't say hometown because it is far from, but her current town of Nashville, picking up a ridiculously awesome 5-4 comeback win after being down 4-2 after 2 periods. The Sharks score 3 different ways, a shorty, an even strength, and a power play, all to cap off this ridiculous win. And let's be honest, the play of the night coming from one coast-to-coast shorty goal from Rocket's favorite player, Brendan Dillon. They would then move on to Carolina and fall asleep after 20 minutes of hockey versus the best team in the Metro and lose 4-3 in a shootout. And let's be honest, they were lucky to get the charity point there after only playing 20 minutes of hockey. They would then cross another amount of time zones. I mean, what a ridiculous road trip. Sharks would win 4-3 in overtime on a ridiculously awesome game from one Timo Meyer and some spectacular goaltending from John Gibson. So let's get into it. Over those 5 games, let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And for me, the great, crashing the net works, kids. It does. And hey, look, we found a power play while we were on that road trip. How cool is that? So, Rocket, we'll go to you first. Over those 5 games, and in fact, these last 5 games, there's no reason for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're just going to go the great, the good, and the meh, because it was a really good week. I mean, hello, 4-0-1. So, you're great over 5 games.
Yeah, We're still early enough into the season where I'm just going to say small sample size. I enjoy watching this line. I have less anxiety when Pete pulls the trigger on the line blender nowadays. And I feel that that's because the status of our fourth line has raised significantly. Yeah, they're great. That's all I have to say.
I like it. Jerk, you're great over five games.
Timo Meier, because he's has a goal in four of those five games, and he has at least a point in five of those five games. You know, those of you who follow me religiously know that...
Your stands, hockey jerk.
Yeah, I was going to say, do not disparage the people that don't believe in God, you know, agnostics. I mean, don't, you know.
You know, the 2015 draft is kind of, you know, I have a weird relationship with it. Obviously, I wanted the Sharks to pick Matt Barzal. They didn't. I wanted them to pick Mikko Rantanen. They didn't. They picked Timo Meier. I was cautiously optimistic at the time, and even his first season and the first half of last year, I was still really cautiously optimistic, especially...
How do you feel today?
We're building. It's a slow build, AJ. It's a slow build. Like, but this season has erased all of those doubts. I mean, you know, I believe it was our friend Kevin Kurz, you know, talking about how he's the next, you know, true NHL power forward, and I'm down with it. I mean, he scores goals. He can skate around the ice like nobody's business. He hits, obviously, and he's not taking questionable penalties anymore. He's really become probably the Sharks' best forward outside of Logan Couture and Thomas Hertl.
What I can say I like about him is that he's not by any means protected. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's gone out there and he has taken a lot of really crummy hits from a lot of different people. So I think he's paid his dues insofar as that goes.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, even when the Sharks played the Flames, which I guess was in the preseason, yes. You know, James Neal, who does like to agitate, you know, was,
real deal.
Sorry, James the real deal Neal was, you know, trying to agitate Timo Meier, and Timo Meier just kind of shrugged him off, basically saying, you don't want any of this. And I'm like, you know, you're 21 years old and you've got that big D energy already. Like, I'm all for it, you know?
Yeah. Well, just recently 22, if I remember correctly. I think he just turned 22 in the last month, but
okay.
Yeah. This kid is becoming, I mean, basically like a faster, well, see, it's so hard to compare some players to other players because there's always little intangibles, plus over time the game changes. Mm-hmm. But Owen Nolan was really the first Sharks power forward, but Owen Nolan doesn't have Timo's speed. Now, Owen Nolan had a nasty streak that Timo can only dream about. You know, so there's that. Now, Ryan Clough is another one that you kind of look at, but Ryan Clough didn't have the hands that Timo Meier has. Now, notwithstanding, let's admit, like, if Timo Meier somehow plays the puck from the bench, then we can bring out the Ryan Clough comparisons. I'm just saying. But just like you said about the draft, I mean, a lot of people, Barzal, I mean, there were some good ones taken there, but again, you can't, you have to look at it 5, 6, 7 years out. Mm-hmm. That it, especially when you consider the Sharks took this one cat named, God, how do I pronounce it? I think his name is pronounced Couture. And he is essentially the top line center of this team. I don't care what anybody else says. Right now, the top line for this team is Logan Couture as the pivot between Hertl and Meier. Mm-hmm. Now, if you rewind the clock back about, 6, 7 years, whenever it was, there's a little trophy called the Calder that goes to the best rookie, and this cat named Jeff Skinner in Carolina won that trophy. A lot of people, myself included, said Couture got jobbed in that. But you know what? It's okay. Let's see what happens 5, 6, 7 years from now. And well, look at this. We are now 5, 6, 7 years out. If you are a GM and you have to build your top line around one of two guys, are you going to take Couture or are you going to take Skinner right now? If those are your only two choices, that's all I'm saying. Thinking most of it. I mean, Jerk, you're one to play devil's advocate. I mean, make a case for Jeff Skinner.
I mean, he's a fast goal scorer, but he doesn't play center. I mean, bottom line, even though Couture kind of sucks at faceoffs, he still has that edge on him. And I think, too, while Skinner has had pockets where he's been better than Logan Couture, I think over the course of the last 7 years, generally speaking, as a whole, Logan Couture has been a better player.
Yeah.
And to put a bow on everything, Timo Meier right now is on pace for 59 goals. And all I'm saying is if he keeps playing the way he is, we might actually see that.
That would be so awesome. Like, you know, there was so much speculation, like in the first 6, 7 games, that it's like, oh man, this kid's going to be a 30 goal scorer. And after like the last 3 games, it's kind of like, no, he might hit 40. He could have a 40-40 season this year.
You know, so, and for the fans, who was the first guy on the Sharks to ever hit 40 goals?
Was that not Owen Nolan?
Boom. There you go. Circle gets the square.
Power forwards, baby.
Wow. Must be always.
So we move on from the great to the good. And the good being, through 8 games, only 1 goal had come from the blue line, but 2 goals now after the last 3 games, now, of course, from Burns. And if you looked a couple games ago for me, Rourke Chartier was kind of trending down and he'd only gotten double-digit ice time in 3 of 4 games. And I was kind of on the fence, if you ever watch After Dark, going, you know, I think it's time to give Dylan Gambrell a look. And Gambrell got 1 game. And then what happens? Chartier comes back and says, hold my beer, scores his first NHL goal. So there's some goodness to look at. That is a great response from Rourke. I know that Rocket used to be a huge purveyor of the Sharks' practices. I don't know how much you got to see Chartier, but how much do you love seeing over the last 5 games, both Chartier and Suomela getting their first NHL goals and getting them done so early in the season so they can maybe, you know, loosen the grip on the stick a little bit, not worry about it so much?
I think it's a testament to the overall strength of this team. Like, they're really, if they avoid injury this year as a core, if they avoid injury, they are bound for great things. There's a lot of speed and a lot of youth on this team, but there's a lot of, the energy is not young. You know, they're too focused to be young. So I think there's a lot of power in that. And I think that power might propel them through a very strong season. Again, like I said, if they avoid injury. But yeah, it's nice to see the new kids blend in seamlessly.
Absolutely. And I mean, Jerk, you're another one that pays attention to the Baby Sharks. Please do not start singing that song. But I don't know about you. Were you kind of like going, maybe Gambrell needed to get a look because over a couple of games, Chartier was just... And obviously you can make a point too. Well, he's with Goodrow and Melker Carlson. Like, how great can he be? But what was your take and like, what's your take on the newbies and Suomela and Chartier?
Well, with the 4C spot, I mean, you know, I'll be honest. I didn't notice anything that was like glaringly awful. Which I guess works in Chartier's favor. But again, to your point, you like to see a guy, even though he is on the fourth line, being that he's a young player, you like to see him come in and make an impact, a noticeable impact right away. But,
well,
you know,
the thing that I'll say is just his faceoff percentage had kind of declined over 5 games.
For sure.
It's kind of like that's really one of the things you look for in your 4C. It's like when the key faceoffs, when you are getting your, you know, 9-10 minutes of ice time.
To be fair, that's something you look for in all of your centers.
Well,
But I digress.
Except couture, evidently.
Yeah, right. But I mean, you know, I've said it many times, and you know, Rocket can probably attest to this, but in my eyes, the best player in Barracuda franchise history at this point is Rourke Chartier. And you know, I hate even saying paid his dues, but he did pay his dues. You know, he played pretty much every center position on that team, first line, second line, third line, and showed, you know, that he really has the skills to be a player. And even last year, you know, coming into last year, I should say, you know, the last 18 months, he's had two documented concussions. I'm convinced it's three, and still was nearly point per game last year. And so I think with that talent, you know, you want to see it in the NHL, and I'm hoping that the game against Anaheim is like the beginning of where he starts to get comfortable. And you know, once you get that first goal, I kind of feel like you can focus on doing your, you know, what you know you're good at, as opposed to trying to get the goal and, you know, make an impression and that kind of stuff. I feel like the impression's been made. And the same can be said about Suomela. I mean, we were, you know, all of us were kind of, you know, pontificating about him.
Oh, look at the big words over here.
Suomela? More like Huomela.
Yeah, right?
Look at Brad with the big brain on Brad. The big words.
You know, we were all kind of like, okay, yeah, he'll probably be 4C. And, you know, Doug Wilson's like, hold my beer, he's going to be 3C. And, I mean, he's I don't want to say he's looked better than Chris Tierney, because, you know, I don't think he has, but that's not necessarily a knock on him either, because he's come in, same thing as Rourke Chartier. He's come in, made an early impression, he's done his job. You know, he's found instant chemistry with Jonas Donskoy, and obviously being from the same country helps. But, you know, let's not forget, this is a guy who led the whole Finnish league in scoring last year. You know, it's the same thing as Chartier, where you have these guys who have, like, they've got, there's an it factor to them. And then now they're on the stage or in the show, and it, you know, it's time for them to show it off. And I think getting the first goal, of course, it happened in back-to-back games. I think getting the first goal is the beginning of that. And I think with Donskoy and Sorensen playing with him, or, you know, if they move whoever else up there with him, I think he's just exuding confidence right now.
Absolutely. And I love that line, to be honest with you. I mean, I think through 11 games played, obviously you look over the last 5, 6, 7 games. Well, obviously, because Meyer's on an 8-game streak right now, but while the second, you know, quote unquote second, but in my eyes, top line of Couture, Hurdle, and Meyer have been killing it. To me, the second best line has been Donskoy, Suomela, and Sorensen. Now, they might not be putting up the points per se, but they're definitely getting some ridiculous looks. And for me, this is that line. If you roll the tape back to 2001, 2002 era, where the Sharks had that ridiculous third line of Scott Thornton, Mike Ricci, and Nicholas Sundstrom, who you could throw out in any situation, and they were going to keep the puck in the offensive zone, whether it was a ridiculous cycle that had guys spinning their wheels, they were getting the job done. And Donskoy and Suomela, like you said, they've just found a chemistry, and we know PDB loves his pairs, whether it's Jumbo and Pavs, Couture and Hurdle, now Donskoy and Suomela. I mean, this is working out. Oh, it's so good to just see those two lines. It's you know, if anything, it's pissing me off, like Pavelski and Kane need to like get off the pot, you know. Do your business and get off the pot.
Oh yeah, it's not like they're out there doing other things. They're just standing there.
No, they're doing, mm-hmm. they're doing things well. But I will say LeBanc's last game or so, not the best. Yeah.
No.
But he did get sent down to the fourth line versus Anaheim towards the end of the game.
In favor of top line Melker Carlson, trademark. But but you know what though, you guys? Think about think back 3 years ago, like how if the top line, quote unquote top line, wasn't going, then nobody was going.
Yep.
And now the Sharks are in a very good spot where you can, you know, okay, if the top line is going to struggle, You can have your second line drive the bus. You can have the third line drive the bus, you know? I mean, and the Sharks too. I mean, like, even on the third line, like, that third line, like you said, AJ, it has so much talent on it. I mean, Suomela led the Finnish league in scoring. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure Donskoi was the playoff MVP in the Finnish league 1 year. Like, you've got studs on this team on your third line. Like, if I'm a Pacific Division team, I'm so nervous about putting my third line out there.
that third line for the Sharks right now is so due to break out. Like, they're going to have one of those ridiculous games where Sharks put up six goals and five of them are going to come from that line. Like, that's where they're at. And just to put a bow on where the Couture line is at, I mean, the last five games, this could bake your noodle. The last five games, everybody else aside from those three guys in the last five games, 9 goals, 24 assists, which is that's pretty awesome.
That really butters my egg roll.
Wait, right? here's an even better sign of positive things to come. I think in last night's game, everybody on the roster except for Martin Jones had a shot on goal.
Yeah, it like and that was after two periods. Like, just, you know, it didn't take a full 60.
No. I have a sinking suspicion they've got some sort of wager going on in the locker room.
Yeah.
That has something to do with how many shots you get or how many shots you take, like if you at least try.
Well, you might be onto something actually, Rocket, cuz I No, because wasn't not, there
Yeah, I wasn't trying to be funny. I actually there, thought no, about this.
I think there was a mic'd up last year. And I think they mic'd up Tierney. And he was like talking to Ward, or maybe he was talking to Hansen or something, but he said, like, you know, oh, if I score tonight, a goal tonight, so and so is buying me a steak or whatever. So, like, you know, in my mind, there's no way there's not something like that going on.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and you know what? And it's funny you point that out. We're going to get to that later because it's making me wonder how many steaks Evander Kane's going to buy Timo Meier this season. But
going to buy him the whole cow.
Right. Yeah, I would think so. Take him to one of those Brazilian steakhouses, you know, where you can try all the meats. But getting back to my point, 9 goals and 24 assists from everybody but the second, you know, or I don't want to say second line, the Couture line. But even taking into account off those numbers, 2 of those goals and 7 of those assists straight came from Brent Burns. Now, let's look at over the last 5 games what just the Couture, Hurdle, Meier line is put together. 12 goals and 15 assists. That is sick. It's absolutely sick. And when Jemigu comes back, if PDB decides to go, you know what, now that Thornton's back, I'm going to put him with Pavs. Maybe I'll put, maybe instead of Kane, maybe I'll put Meier up there and see if that. No. Just no. Couture, Hurdle, and Meier, leave it at that. And if you try to make Couture a center again, I'm going to smack you. I'm going to make you balder than Ryan Getzlaf. Just smacking the top of your head.
Boiled
just
egg.
Saying. I'm just saying. So anyway, we spent a lot of time on through the great, the good. It is time to talk about the bad. And really, they go 4-0-1. How much bad is there to talk about? But there is a little bit. Sharks have gotten owned 3 of the last 5 games, and especially over the last 2, they've gotten owned in the faceoff dot, something that clearly needs to be worked on. Now, granted, I'm one of those guys that's like, you know, you don't need to have a positive percentage in the dot if you're winning the key faceoffs. I don't care if you lose the opening faceoff of every period. That faceoff generally doesn't mean that much. If you lose the faceoff when there's 2 minutes left and you're in the defensive zone and you're down by a goal, that's kind of a key faceoff. That's one you want to win. But if you can at least be 51, that's nice. The other thing, Rocket, and I know this is going to spin Rocket into a new world of oblivion. Martin Jones not being the best Martin Jones over the last couple games, at least since, over 3 games, Jones, you know, he let in 4 versus Nashville. Then Dell got the start and against Carolina and got absolutely hung out to dry and still was able to steal a charity point. despite the team in front of him falling asleep for 40 minutes. And then Jones comes back versus Anaheim against a ridiculous performance from Gibson. Jones still able to take that win, but I don't know. When I watch Jones, it seems like over the last five Jones starts, it always seems like, boy, there's that one goal that if he just, I don't know if it's a positioning thing or something, but there's always just kind of like that one goal that's one you should have had, brother.
Yeah, it's almost like the other team has video footage on him and studies his every move. Perhaps they're really, really studied over the offseason and maybe tweaked on where his soft spot is. No, that couldn't be going on at all. Jones is playing like Jones. Everything's fine. You're being silly.
I, for one, do not like where people to know where my soft spot is. But I've got four words for you, though.
What?
Regular season doesn't matter. And well, I say that like half joking, but I mean, think about Martin. Like,
well, if you suck in the regular season, you don't get to play in the post.
No, I know. And I'm not using this as justification for praise. I'm using it to say, like, think about Martin Jones. Like, it seems like he always struggles until early, like February.
Yep.
And then in March, April, and maybe May, if we get that far, he'll have like a 99 save percentage. It seems like, anyway.
Have his natural progression be like that, then be like Jonathan Quick, who's great for the first four games and then falls into pieces and is out for the next 6 months.
Yeah. I know we're not supposed to be sympathetic to them, but I honestly, I feel bad for him. Like, they're killing him over there.
Yeah, but you know what? I really enjoy his backup.
Oh, well, who doesn't, man? Live by the sword and Budai by the sword.
That's all I'm saying.
Live as if you were to Budai tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Budai, 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 rock it everywhere.
Oh, God.
Oh, man, I haven't seen that one. That was good. Budai, 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 rock it everywhere. That's a good one. Oh, I'm going to... Oh, dude, don't think I'm not going to karaoke this weekend doing that.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, that is awesome. Okay, so we wrap up the 2 weeks that were in Sharks hockey and move on to our three stars of the week, or what we call...
Oh, good for you!
And we start off with your star of the week, Rocket. Well, and again, wait. Of 2 weeks.
Of 2 weeks, okay.
What the hell was that?
Wait, my star of the week.
Oh, it's Steve the short Spine. Hand. Oh, Steve's. Okay, now I understand why she was laughing so hard. Steve Spott, because he finally figured out where the power play was.
Yeah, exactly. It's Steve Spott. Good job, Steve. I had faith in you the whole time.
Oh, that's a brilliant pick. All right. Okay. My star of the week, of course, well, of the 2 weeks, how can it not be the quote, you know, the put it in quotes, the second line, Hurdle, Couture, Meyer, and let's call it what it is. They are, in fact, the top line. It's not the second line. It is. I don't care when Jumbo comes back. If Jumbo comes back tomorrow, if he comes back in 2019, he's not playing on the top line any longer. So, booyah, Couture, Meyer, Hurdle, you are my star for the week. Jerk, yours.
Brent, I'm going to say Brent Burns and
quality pick, dude.
And you
two
know,
goals, seven assists over the last five games.
And that's what I'm saying is we're starting to see the Brent Burns that won the Norris Trophy, because, you know, for a solid year, I would say Brent Burns, more often than not, when he's on the ice, it's me with my hands over my eyes just saying, please don't let them score on us. Like, But I don't know, just between like starfish defensive posture,
I was waiting for that.
High sticking 9 out of 10 pucks down in the neutral zone and then stopping the play and just all that. There's a lot to be unhappy with, but this season he appears to have found the correct amount of sugar, the correct amount of water and correct amount of flavor, and he's made himself some quality Kool-Aid that all of Sharks territory is drinking this season. Because I don't want to get too crazy, but I think Norris Brent Burns might be back.
Hey now, I will take that.
Norris.
I mean, like I said, 2 goals, 7 assists in the last 5, which is huge when you take into consideration before that, there were no goals coming from the blue line in those first 8 games. And in the last 3 games, we've seen 2 from Brent Burns and then that ridiculous shorty from one Mr. Brendan Dillon.
You know, he did that just for me, you know.
Of course.
He did.
Of course. How could he not? I mean, it's amazing what you'll do for a burrito.
And I could be absolutely wrong about this. I hope somebody will correct me, but I believe the current point streak Brent Burns is on is the longest point streak by a Sharks defense.
No, it ties it.
Ties it. Okay. Well, ties still it. We're there.
He did just hit like his Iron Man game, didn't he?
And actually his point streak right now matches 2 other times that he's hit 8 points. So he's breaking his own records.
Well, and the cool thing about this is, if I recall correctly at this point, this is only the 3rd time in Sharks history where you have 2 players at the same time that are both on consecutive 8-game point streaks.
You are correct.
Yeah. So this is going to be a lot of fun. And dude, I'm going to be glued to watching Burns and Meyer versus the Rangers. I mean, and if there's a team that's coming to town that you want to extend your point streak against, you'd be hard pressed to find one better than the Rangers. That's all I'm saying. So we will move on to Shark Bites. And just a couple things. I don't want to go, too ham on this. We don't have a whole lot of time left. Just a couple things I want to jump into. The LA Kings are imploding, people. They've held a closed door meeting. Quick is now injured. We made the Budai reference earlier
for the second time.
Yeah. So can we close the door on LA? I mean, there's a lot of speculation that it was kind of like, well, you know what, coming into this season, I'm still fearful of LA because they have Quick. They've added Ilya Kovalchuk and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they're still the same heavy plodding team that got swept in the playoffs last season. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people talking about Anaheim. Oh, you know, everybody's going to be healthy. And, well, were they totally wrong about that? You know, Anaheim has, like, most man games missed ever. And they got swept last season. So, I'm thinking maybe California only has one representative in the playoffs this season. Is that just me?
You never know. It might be, you know, one of those Disney movie seasons for Anaheim where they just call up everybody from the Gulls.
No. That was last year.
Okay. And the Gulls as far as they can. Oh. Yeah.
I look forward to 5 years from now when somebody's pouring out Getzloff ashes somewhere near, like, you know, the Matterhorn or something.
It seems way more like, and it's a small world guy to me.
There you go. It's a bald world. The other thing that happened over the last couple of weeks, Paul Kariya from the Anaheim Ducks gets his number retired. Only the second one from the Anaheim Ducks getting his retired, of course, after Solani being the first. And Scott Niedermeyer is going to get his retired later this season. Jerk, when do the Sharks, if ever, retire a number? And if they do, who's the first one?
Well, just want to say really quickly, Paul Kariya was my favorite non-Shark as a kid growing up all time. So to see that was really cool. I had a buddy of mine buy the pin and the patch for me, and he's mailing it to me. Very happy. As for Sharks retiring numbers, you know, I've had this conversation with people before, and a lot of people say Nabokov, but I'll be honest, not really feeling Nabokov. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Not as the first.
No, you're right. Not as the first. I mean, he was good, yes, but he was not a franchise altering goaltender in my eyes. Tell me I'm wrong. Totally fine.
I would agree with that. But my whole thing is, let me put this. This is my 2-part question to you. When do the Sharks retire a number, if ever, and who's the first one? But do my second half of my question, do they retire number before winning a cup? Because obviously these retirements have come after Anaheim's won a cup.
Well, if memory serves correctly, I believe Minnesota retired on their first game, retired number one because their fans are number one. So anything is possible. But I'm not even sure.
So why don't the Sharks retire 91 since that's the season they started, well, right?
And I mean,
they might.
I mean, well, there's no way it's not number 12, right?
That's kind of the way I'm leaning. But conversely,
nice word.
It's 12. But is 12 a first ballot Hall of Famer? I don't know that he is, where we all know that 19 is. So, you know,
I mean,
maybe they split the difference.
Who's got more franchise records, 12 or 19?
Oh, I would have to do research. I mean,
yeah, I think Marlowe might have one or two. I mean, we all know that Thornton owns the assist record. Thornton might own the points over Marlowe, despite Marlowe playing like seven more seasons for the Sharks than Thornton. So that stuff, but again, I go back to the whole deal of Thornton's first ballot Hall of Famer, Marlowe without a cup. Not too sure. I think that's kind of on the cusp. But Marlowe, obviously a fan favorite. It's really tough. I mean, but then again, you look at the 25th season, what was all the merch that was put out? It was Ricci. It was Nolan. It was Nabokov. Those are literally like the three biggest fan favorites from the past. If they haven't retired those numbers yet, I just can't see them doing it before somebody else or before a cup. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm looking right now. Patrick Marlowe has the Sharks record for points, goals, power play goals, shorthanded goals, game-winning goals.
Empty net goals. Really?
Game-winning goals, too. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Shots, like that matters. And Joe Thornton only has the Sharks record for assists and plus-minus.
I'm a little surprised he doesn't have the record for... Can you tell me what the difference is between points or no?
Like all-time?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no. As a Shark.
As a Shark, allow me to research that for you.
No problem.
I will say too, just even more so, most points in a season, Joe Thornton. Most assists in a season, Joe Thornton.
Most hardware. I mean, Marlowe's never won a trophy, whereas Thornton has won the Ross and what's the other trophy he won after the Ross? Yeah, Hart and the Ross. So, I mean,
I know who's going to retire.
Okay, what? You're going with Chichu because he won the Richard? I mean,
Train, Chichu.
Oh, no, she's going with John Scott.
No. my only captain. No, Doug Wilson.
Maybe.
Yeah. I can't see him doing it.
If you want to look on numbers.
Not like, as a player.
Not as a player. Okay. Yeah, all right. I'll give you that much.
Yeah, it'll be like a George Gunbander.
Okay. I have numbers.
I feel you.
Bring them on.
Shoot. Okay. And this is just with the Sharks. In 1,493 games, Patrick Marlowe has 1,082 points.
Good God.
In 963 games, Joe Thornton has 974 points. So less points, but a higher points per game if that's your thing.
Well, and I mean, provided Jumbo's knee at some point snaps back, Jumbo will play some more games as a Shark. I'm sorry?
Are we going to raise a banner for Joe's knee?
Do we raise a banner for each knee or just one banner marking both knees? Do we? But my point being is that Thornton still has the opportunity to catch up to some of those. But anyway,
absolutely.
Let's move on to my last kind of
Whoa! Sorry, I just read one thing. Logan Couture needs 1 point to tie Owen Nolan for fourth all time in franchise history.
Hey.
Which is pretty.
For points?
Yeah, points. Owen Nolan is at 4-5-1 and Logan Couture is at 4-5-0.
Yeah. You know what? That's. Oh, man.
That's a cool little thing.
No, it's a cool little thing and something that I'm definitely going to be writing down. But it's one of those things where you have to take into account the offensive weaponry that Couture has played with during his career versus sure. what Nolan was, you know, saddled with. Let's take into account that, yeah, Nolan played with Vinny Danfus and Jeff Friesen, and that was great. But there was a time when Nolan's pivot was Craig freaking Janney, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just, you know, call it what it is.
Oh, you're only fourth in franchise scoring? Quitter.
You know, you've been smashed in the face every year for the last 4 years.
God.
Teeth are made out of some weird titanium ceramic that's only available in Canada and certain regions in Thailand. But yeah, loser.
Piker.
Also, and totally different, but Mark Edward Vlasic is going to play his 1,000th game next season.
Yeah. He just,
does that make you feel?
Dude, just played his 900th like 3 games ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I believe Brent Burns has a significant milestone coming up. I mean, and we just saw PDB coach his 750th game. I mean, there's some decent milestones coming.
Brent Burns is going to hit 1,000 this year.
Damn.
Barring any unforeseen catastrophes.
And I heard about his Ironman streak last night.
Yeah.
Bro, guys, we are getting old.
Getting. I am.
All right. Let me touch on my final subject because we are so running long right now. This is just something. Now, tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
I know. I just have a big problem. When I look on eBay or other apps that, you know, people can post merch to sell. Now, I'm all about here's how I should preface this. When the team, whether this is the team that you go to see, whether it's the Sharks, the Yankees, the Dallas Cowboys, whoever it is, if they have some sort of a giveaway or some sort of a promotional deal and you get some sort of piece of promotional merch, whether it's a bobblehead or a figurine or a flag or a t-shirt, whatever it is, you paid for that item. It, for me, that is completely yours freely to do whatever you want to do with it. However, here's my thing. Recently, I noticed when the Sharks made their road trip, that first road trip where they played, back east, where it was like the Islanders, Philadelphia, the Rangers, the Devils. All of a sudden, like after, I don't know if it was the Philly game or the Rangers game. It was one of those games. I want to say it was the Rangers game. Like within a day, all of a sudden, a ton of merch popped up on eBay that was signed, all coming from a seller who lives in New York. And it was, you know, a Jones signed, you know, all these different signed pucks and like a mini helmet and all that. Just essentially, it was pretty clear that there was some guy who collected a bunch of Sharks merch, went out in front of the hotel or wherever the Sharks were staying, got the guys to sign a bunch of merch, and not even 24 hours goes by and he puts this stuff up. Now, tell me I'm wrong. I think that's kind of a douchey thing. Like, when I ask a player to sign a jersey of mine, and which is there's only two things that I've ever asked a player to sign. And it's either been my jersey or it's been, you know, like a sign that, you know, like one of the this is Sharks territory signs. And let's be honest, like a couple of those I had, like, you know, Brendan Dillon sign, and then I immediately sent it to Rocket. But, you know, I did that for somebody who I know would appreciate it. It's not like when Rocket got the fucking sign, she went, "Ooh, can't wait to put this up on eBay." You know what I mean? Like, there's just this group of people that are out there that kind of ruin it for other player, or I mean, for other people, Rocket. I mean, the fans, there's a group of people, because you've been to practices, you've seen that there are certain players. Jumbo and Marlo were known for sneaking out so they didn't have to sign stuff. And we've seen it now that, like, Brent Burns, Brendan Dillon will not sign something unless they ask you your name and they sign it personally to you, which is a very thinly veiled, obvious thing to say, you're not putting this up on eBay. Like, this is to you, so deal with it. Where I'm actually one of those people where I wish all the players would sign it to me, because it to me, it says, I didn't buy this signature. You know, I got it myself because they signed it to me. So, I mean, what is your take on this? I mean, are you just kind of like, you know what? Hey, if you sit outside the hotel with a bunch of merch and they sign it, it's free to do what you want. Or do you think it's a douchebag move because it's that kind of behavior that makes players a little, you know, trepidatious about signing stuff?
Well, I think that there's a way to do it. And a lot of professional athletes have deals with their agents, you know, they'll, and I know that hockey players are in this realm too. Like, I've seen advertisements where Logan Couture will be at some sporting goods store and, you know, you can get his autograph for a certain amount of money. And that's great because Logan needs to be paid for his time and his efforts, and signing over and over and over and over is a lot, you know.
But a lot of to be fair, a lot of those times when guys do that, the money goes to charity.
Right, exactly. And that's even better. But I mean, see, it's situation appropriate to bring a bunch of stuff to sign there. And, you know, you pay your nominal charge, but that's a convenience fee. Bringing a jersey, something you love, whatever, to practice, to have them sign a puck, whatever, that's fine. But it's when you get these guys who have a stack of
8x10s.
Or bigger, that are already matted and they just need to be framed and shipped. I mean, I'm serious. I've seen them. They have a stack of matted things, and then they've got a whole stack of jerseys, and these guys are trying to be nice, but at the same time they're at work. Come on, like, they've just got out of practice, they want to go shower and eat some chow and then get on with the rest of their day. Maybe they have meetings, maybe they have other stuff to do,
they have family.
Yeah, you know, like, it's not situationally appropriate to try to conduct commerce with a professional athlete after or while they're in the middle of practicing at their facility. That's just rude. I'm sorry that nobody's told you that it's rude, people that do that, and I'm sorry that you don't care, but you're wrong and somebody needs to spit some gum on you. Like, that's just wrong. You're rude. Don't do that. These are people. They're not, you know, they don't just like go into a little hibernation chamber and then come out when it's time for warm-ups. Like, they are actual people, and I think that the people who do this kind of crap are really disrespectful and don't honor the fact that these are actual people and not just money trees for them to leech off of. That's my rant. I'm sorry. I know we're running long, but yeah, no, I do actually have kind of strong feelings about that.
I completely agree with you. And it's funny when I have gone to either like Fan Fest, let's be honest, Fan Fest is essentially a situation. Well, oh man, we can spiral off into a whole new realm of silly dimension. But there was the Tank Tailgate and the Beer Fest, or I'm sorry, Tank Tailgate Fan Fest. and what's funny is that there were certain players, Evander Kane, Erik Karlsson, Mark Edward Vlasic, that would not sign anything. They would take photos, the day is long, but they wouldn't sign anything. But then there were other players, Pavelski, Couture, Brendan Dillon, that had no problem signing things out there. So that, you know, that's a little weird and they need to figure that out. But when you go to a practice or whatever, it's, I don't know. I mean, Jerk, I don't know what your take is on this. So my thing, I could just see myself as a player. It's like, oh, there's this person. He has one thing that he wants signed. Absolutely. But when you see somebody out there with a booklet of 8x10s or hockey, you know, they have like 5 of the exact same hockey card and they want you to sign all 5 of them. You know what I mean?
No, I got you. And I will say this. You absolutely, that is your right. If you like, if you want to get somebody to sign something or, you know, whatever, like, and sell it, go for it. That's your right. But that doesn't mean that you're not a stupid idiot at the same time.
It doesn't mean you're not screwing it up for everybody else.
Because, and you know what? And a lot of times the people that are doing this is grown men.
Such tools. Yeah.
It's grown men.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know,
people who should know better.
Yeah. People who should know better. But also it's like, it's just, to me, it's rude. Like, like you said, AJ, it makes it not fun for those like the three of us who get something signed because it's special to us. And I've said many times, I have a piece of freaking white copy paper that has Joe Pavelski's autograph on it that I got when I was 13 years old, but I still have it because it's special to me. And, you know, people who do that, like you both have said, it ruins it for those who it's special for. But at the same time, like, if, I don't know, I just, you're just a douche, basically, because you're wasting their time. And, you know,
well, you're trying to make a buck off of them.
Exactly.
And
this goes back to something that I've kind of said before, and you can spin this conversation 80,000 different ways, but the players and the team owe you nothing.
Exactly.
There is no, I spent X on season tickets, so you owe me 12 pictures a year. That's not a thing.
No, but that's the whole thing is, no, you know what? If you're a season ticket holder, you get to go to an event called Meet the Sharks, mm-hmm. where you're allowed one item to be signed, you know, per player. There you go. That's what you get. You know, there's none of this, you know, bringing 10 8x10s to be signed by the same guy. You know, it's just such a douchey move.
Yeah. Like, what are you, his agent now? Like,
yeah.
I will say that if I had my way, every time I went to go ask Brendan Dillon to sign something, he would already know who I was and be like, hey, Rocket, what's up? What do you need me to sign today?
You're right.
Because I'm just like that. Sorry.
Well, see, and this is the funny thing is just to put a final bow on this rant, and it has been a rant, and I get it, but it is a fact that there are a certain amount of, you know, people out there that they will just, that's their deal, is they stalk sports teams when they come to town and have a treasure trove of merch for them to sign, all so that they could give, they could care so, I mean, they, well, actually, I should say they could not care less about the team, who these players are. It's all about the money that I can make by selling this merch on eBay because it's signed and I've got a photo of them signing it that my douchey friend took from like the bushes so the players didn't see it, you know, that type of crap. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And just to put a bow on this, I went to Captain's Ice, which always happens, you know, like 10, 12 days before camp starts. And it's generally like the bigger name guys. There'll be a couple other, you know, smallers, but it's the bigger guys. And I went out there into the parking lot at Sharks Ice, and I went there with like 3 specific jerseys that I wanted to get signed. I had a World's Bernsey jersey, I had a Timo jersey, and I had a Donskoy jersey. None of those guys came out, and that was on me because I should have known that it was going to be bigger players. But I pulled up, and within 5 minutes of being there, Pavelski walks out, Couture walks out, Thornton walks out, and I'm the only one there wanting any type of an autograph. And when I see those players coming out, whether it's Couture, Pavelski, Thornton, whoever, I just go, you know, hey, Logan, you know, good luck. Have a good year, you know, and they're just, hey, thanks, man. And it's, I didn't bother them for anything. And so, you know, I'm like sitting there going, oh, you know, it's them. You know, hey, can you sign this like pack of matches? Can you sign my, the hood of my car?
Like, oh, you're the best ever. Let me sit here and tell you about the first time I ever did this, that, and the other. And then this other guy. And hey, oh, can you look at these pictures? I just, hold on. It's going to take me a minute to look at my phone.
Yeah, look at my phone. Yeah, that's always my favorite. Tell you, just give me a second to like show you this photo. Like they could care less. Like Jerk says, they owe you nothing. They don't owe you 5 seconds to look at your stupid photo. And, you know, it's, oh, hey, dude, I have a Sharpie. Can you sign my arm? I'm going to have this dude tattoo it. No, just shut the hell up. And so, again, like I was there for 3 seconds.
I know somebody who did that. Sorry.
Well, dude, because that's not.
I would do that with the Sharky tattoo.
That's not singular to the shark. That's not singular to the Sharks. That's not singular to hockey. That's not singular to sports. You see that with rock bands. You know, it's like, oh, sign my boob. You know, Nickelback or Kiss or, you know. Five Poison. Finger Death There's Punch guy.
How many ladies out there have Bret Michaels tattoos?
Right, thank you. Lady yeah. And how many of those girls were poisoned? Heyo,
hey.
Okay, so anyway, back to my point.
Yes, back to this century.
Yeah, back to this century.
Ouch. God, and he's right too. That stings. Oh my God, I'm old.
So anyway. It comes back down to the fact that you guys are screwing it up for everybody else. Don't be that guy. I stood out there and as guys are coming out of practice for 2 hours. And you know what? I sat there for 2 hours and I saw a whole bunch of sharks, but they weren't the sharks that I were looking. You know, these are not the sharks you're looking for. And so that was fine. So I walked inside to go to the bathroom before I left. And miraculously, I was coming back out. I see Brent Burns. Ho, hey now. That's one of the guys I was looking for. Hey, Brent, would you mind signing my Team Canada jersey before you leave? Yeah, sure, buddy. Where is it? Hold on. I'll go get it. Be right back. Come up to. Hey, what's your name, pal? That's AJ. All right. Here you go. Thanks for supporting, eh? Okay, have a good day, man. See you. That was it. Lickety split. Boom, boom, boom.
Not, you know? Oh, can you sign this? Make sure it doesn't smudge. Use this color.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, can you sign this 8x10 and this 16x20 and this poster and these
two?
Yeah, and these five pucks and then this like all-star jersey and then this other jersey. Yeah, it was. I had one jersey that I wanted signed because it was a Team Canada World's Authentic that meant a lot to me. And again, I go back to the fact that it doesn't, if you look at the back of that jersey on 88, it doesn't say Brent Burns. It says to AJ, all the best, Brent Burns, which I completely appreciate. And I actually think and hope that more, well, sharks, but hockey players, sports players in general do that to dissuade from these jerk-offs that are ruining it for everybody. Oh my God, we have spiraled out of control. We're going to go an hour and a half in this one. Okay,
Kayla's done with this.
Kayla's out. Okay, so the Sharks after this have 3 games until our next cast. The cool thing about this, ladies and gentlemen, and wow, did we spiral. I hope you guys fast forwarded. Sharks are going to play 10 of their next 12 at the Tank, but the next 3 are coming up. The Rangers, the Blue Jackets, the Flyers. Now, the Rangers are coming into this 3-7-1. They're on a 2-game losing streak. They are the worst team in the Metro. They suck. But one of those 3 wins, miraculously enough, came against San Jose in overtime. So, I mean, Jerk, can we just pencil this in as a victory already and say, oh, look at that. Meyer and Burns are on 9-game scoring streaks while Hurdle and Couture are on 7-game scoring streaks.
Sold. Done. Next.
Yep. That's what I'm thinking. Columbus Blue Jackets, who are the Jekyll and Hyde team of the NHL. I mean, they beat teams that maybe they probably should have lost to, like Philly or St. Louis, but then they lose to teams they probably shouldn't have, like Chicago and Arizona. They come in potentially 6-4-0 at this recording, but they will have a game played before they meet up with San Jose. Rocket, what do you look forward to? I mean, let's be honest. John Tortorella cannot have nice things.
He might. All right, so I'm just going to give wins and losses. Rangers and Columbus wins, and we're going to lose against Philly.
Ooh, see, I don't buy that. After the Rangers and Columbus, the Sharks do in fact face that gritty Philly team. You like how that went?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
The Sharks, they're going to have to watch out because the Flyers should be looking for revenge after getting absolutely walloped 8-2 back on back at the beginning of the season on the 9th.
That was fun.
I'll tell you this little inside secret.
Yes, sir.
They're not going to get revenge.
No, they're not. 4-7 right now, and I'm still spiraling.
I have a friend who's
Everybody knows a guy.
I have a friend who is a Philadelphia Flyers fan, and I've been telling him for 2 years, I'm sorry, but Brian Elliott is not the answer. And that still rings true. Now, is it going to be an 8-2 shellacking? That would be nice, but I doubt it.
I'm going to go 5-2 shellacking.
Yeah, I think Philadelphia will have more to say about this game, but I still don't think they're going to win. As for Columbus, I think Columbus is going to win just because Bobrovsky and that whole defense.
Mm.
And yeah, Panarin, who's struggled this year. I mean, wouldn't it be perfect if he just breaks out against the Sharks?
Oh, stop you. Stop you.
And then, yeah, like we said, Rangers, signed, sealed, delivered. Don't even have to talk about it.
Yeah. With this 4-game homestand coming up, Rangers, Columbus, Philly, and Minnesota, the one game I'm kind of nervous about is Minnesota, actually. I think the first three, I think they should roll through as long as they continue this awesome vibe of crashing the net. Like I said earlier, like over the last like 10 goals, the Sharks have scored 9 of them have come within 5 feet of the crease. Continue doing that. That's all I have to say.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I know. Like, it's like Steve Spott opened a fortune cookie and went, oh, that's the key to it all. Cool. So Rocket, your final thoughts on whether people can find you on the Soosh.
My final thoughts. Hi, everyone. I miss you. Hockey is a lot of fun this year, especially for Sharks fans, because there's just a lot of strength in this team. And I like that the pieces that we have are skill pieces. You know, Logan Couture, Tomas Hertl. In the grand scope scheme of the NHL world, they're fairly underrated players. And that's great because, you know, if they want to keep those stealth mode jerseys, hey, just keep the stealth mode going with, you know, the roster. Anyway, happy about these guys. Stay healthy. My name is Rocket Backhand. You can find me at Twitter posting musings about hockey and, you know, just life in general here as a Sharks fan in Nashville. It's capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76 on Twitter, R Backhander 76, or you can find out what kind of photographic hijinks I'm getting to, I'm getting into over on the Instagram, or the gram, as the young people say these days. And that is Rocket Backhander, one word, on the gram, AJ.
And we pass it over to the one, the only, Mr. Jerk.
Final thoughts. Glad to be back. I've definitely missed when we've been able to get together and do this. It's nice to... That was incredibly loud in my headphones. No, you're good. No, it's nice to get back in the swing of things and, you know, do what we all like doing best, and that's talking about our team that wears the teal, the San Jose Sharks, who... those guys are doing okay. They're doing all right for themselves. You can follow me on Twitter and nowhere else @hockey_jerk, where I don't know, this year is weird, guys. The Montreal Canadiens are fun? ? I don't know.
Calgary just beat Toronto. Holy crap. Austin Matthews is going to be the downfall of this team.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right?
And just want to say I'm not bragging, I'm not gloating, but friend of the show, Cheryl, good game in fantasy hockey last week. See you next time.
#4C.
Hi, Cheryl.
I know. I am AJ underscore strong on the Twitter and the Instagram. Also throwing up some occasional grams, as the young people say, like Rocket says, on at Tealtown USA on that gram as well. So my final thought is keep doing whatever it is you're doing.
Way to keep doing whatever it is you're doing.
So do us a favor and subscribe to us on the SoundCloud. Give us a review on iTunes. As always, subscribe to the Tealtown USA YouTube channel, because they go live after every single Sharks game. But hook us up any podcast catcher that you use. There you go. Follow us on Twitter at Tealtown USA. Thanks for tuning in to show number 51. Sorry we went long, but you know what? This wasn't a single week show. It was a 2 week show. That's what happens. So thanks for coming out. We'll see you next week after show 52, people.